Hello everyone, my name is Philippe and this is the podcast Life with AI, the podcast that we talk about artificial intelligence in a simpler way. And for today's episode, I think people are gonna really like because I'm gonna talk about how to better use ChatGPT. I'm gonna give you some tips on how to improve the usage of this amazing algorithm that we have, this huge transformer architecture of like 180 billion parameters, something like this. And yeah, how to better use it. So before starting it, I think it's important to remember what is ChatGPT and how it was trained and what it does actually. So first of all, it's, as I said, it's a huge transformer architecture that was trained in, well, to do two stuff. First of all, it is pre-trained to read and understand and be able to like know the whole internet. So it does the self-supervised learning on next token prediction in the whole image, in the whole internet. It's around, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000, 5 trillion, 10 trillion tokens. So a lot of information. And then it is trained to be able to talk to you. So it's a chatbot, it's a conversational AI. So it needs to know how to interact with people. And well, as you guys can see, it is very good on it because you can chat with it for a variety of subjects. Okay, so knowing that ChatGPT knows all this stuff because it was trained with the whole internet and then it was trained to know how to interact with you, what does it do? ChatGPT is an algorithm that is only able to do one thing, that is generate the next token. I've explained it before that token is I've explained it in some other episodes that a token is a representation of subword. It's not even a word, it's a subword. And with the subwords, we have a word. And then with the words, we have sentences that we can that it uses to generate the answer for you. So one thing that is really funny and you can try yourself is ask a question and ask ChatGPT to count the number of words in your question or even in the answer that it's gonna give. It is not able to do so. Because the only thing that it's able to do is generate a new token. It is not able to count, and even counting the number of tokens are not the number of words, so it's even harder. And it's not able to do math. So if you ask, what is 10 plus 10? It is not doing the math like 10 plus 10, okay, it's 20. No, it just understands by the tokens that it gave, that you gave to it, that what you said, the answer is 20. Like it's weird that it is not able to do math, but still it is able to answer complicated math questions. But yeah, that's how it works. And now we go for the first tip that I can give to you. That is, instead of asking like, what is 10 plus 10? What is the result? You should ask, what is 10 plus 10? Explain me your reasoning to arrive into the result. This is called a chain of thought. And the goal is really to ask the algorithm to explain its decision making. And we saw like in practice, all of this it's empirical stuff. Of course we can test because we have our benchmarks that says, hey, if you do this chain of thought here, you're gonna have 80% accuracy on the math test. If you don't do, you're gonna have only 60%. So they saw it, but it's also some experiments that we see qualitatively that it works way better when you ask it to explain its decision and do a reasoning. And it's called a chain of thought. So when you're using ChatGPT, not only ask for the question, for the answer, but for the explanation of the answer. And it's really funny because sometimes if you ask for the answer, it's gonna answer you something that is wrong. And then if you ask, can you explain me how did you come to this answer? And then it's gonna explain all the process and gonna change the final answer. It's funny and weird because we don't know why, but we just saw in practice that it works way better like this. And another thing that is very important to know is a concept that is called zero shot and few shot. Zero shot is when you are teaching or like telling the algorithm what it should do. So imagine that you have a problem, you have a sentence and you want to classify the sentence between three different possibilities. It could be like a financial advice, it could be a philosophy text, or it could be, I don't know, a math statement. It could be these three possibilities, and you want ChatGPT to classify the sentence that you're giving to it between one of these three possibilities. This is called zero shot because it's a task that it didn't know before, like it was not able to give between these three possibilities, but you told it to give the answer between those three. So this is zero shot. And now there is the next step that is few shot. Few shot is not only when you give what you want, but you also give some examples on what you should do. So we have these three possibilities, and you're gonna give examples of financial text, about philosophy text, and about math statements. And with this, the algorithm will work way better because it will understand how it does, what it should do, actually. And I can give you an example. We have we use a lot ChatGPT here in the company as a final product sometimes. We have our own algorithms, but for some stuff, it's like ChatGPT is just way better and simpler to implement because our algorithms, we need to train it and so on. With more data, we can beat ChatGPT. But for a new project, we just try ChatGPT because we have no data. And sometimes we even use ChatGPT to label the data for us. It's important to say that if you use ChatGPT with enterprise data, you should always use the Azure version. Because in Azure, you send the data to Azure and they don't use your data. If you send your data to OpenAI, they're gonna use your data. And for enterprise stuff, this is not compliant and not good at all. So the example that we have here in the company is that, we do information extraction and sometimes we need to extract the place and the date that the document was signed. And what happens is sometimes people, they don't put the place, they always put the date, but sometimes they don't put the place, they put the data, the date and then the place, or they put the place and then the date. So what we did is that we created a prompt. A prompt is what you give to the algorithm. We don't say question, we say prompt. So we create this prompt by saying, okay, I want you to give me the location and the date that we extracted here. And this would be just a zero shot. I'm giving to the algorithm the task that it should do. But we saw that what works way better is to say, okay, I want the location and the date. You can have different possibilities. Sometimes you're gonna receive the location and the date, and I want the format like this. If you receive only the date and didn't receive the location, I want the format like this. If you receive first the date and then the location, I want the format like this. So I give it some examples on what it should do, and then it will be the algorithm gonna behave exactly the way I want it to behave. And there is something else that is really interesting that we saw here, that you can ask ChatGPT to behave differently according to the problem that you have. So for this problem of extracting the location and the date, we said, imagine that you are a postman that is, I didn't remember exactly the full prompt, but imagine that you are a postman in North Carolina and you want to give me the location and the date, something like this. So like, you can ask the algorithm to behave differently. The natural behavior of ChatGPT is being a conversational AI, and then it's gonna, if you ask a question, it's gonna give a lot of blah blah blah, like gonna try to interact with you and so on. But in this case, we don't want any interaction. We just want a strict answer of what is the location and what is the date. And it's also good because we pay to use the ChatGPT open API as a company. You pay for the generated tokens. So if the algorithm generates less tokens, so if it goes direct to the answer, you're gonna pay way less. So this is also a way to decrease how much you pay for the use of the algorithm. I think that's mainly this that I have as tips. So use zero shot and few shot. It's very good and useful, and few shot is better than zero shot. You can ask the algorithm to behave the way you want, and you can use chain of thought instead of just asking for the answer. It works way better. You can trust me, and I would advise you to try. You're gonna see that the answer is better. And just to finish, maybe I'm gonna say, how do I use ChatGPT? We use here in the company, but this is enterprise usage. We use for final products, as I said, sometimes. But I use personally too. I use it for coding, not a lot. Like, I'm not a heavy user of ChatGPT for coding. I still like to search for stuff in Stack Overflow. I think I like to code myself because then I'm sure that what I'm doing is right. And if it's wrong, I know how to fix it. The problem of people that they use ChatGPT a lot to code is that when they come back to their code and they need to debug something, they have no idea on what is happening there. But if there is something that I'm a heavy user of ChatGPT, is to do rejects. Rejects, well, for the ones that are in computer science, rejects is super, super hard to do. And rejects is a way of processing natural language. So if you want to extract given a sentence, like a string or do something with it, you use rejects, then it's super hard to write rejects. So asking ChatGPT, like, it's amazing because it does it perfectly. And yeah, I never had any problem with rejects. But of course, you should try and test with different possibilities everything that is given by ChatGPT. Well, something else that I do is pre-writing emails and documents. Documentation of code is also good. So I put what I want as a template to ChatGPT. I ask, okay, I want an email like this, this, and this. I want a document like this, this, and this. This is my code. I want to generate a documentation. And from the output of ChatGPT, I just modify it and send it. And the last one that I cannot deny is, come on, everybody uses ChatGPT to do exams for you. I don't use it anymore because I'm not anymore a student. But when I was a student some weeks ago, I used to use a lot ChatGPT for exams when the exams were from home. Or even like a project that you had to do at home. Everybody uses ChatGPT. So yeah, guys, it was a quite short episode, but I think it was nice because I gave some specific tips that maybe gonna help you all to use ChatGPT. And now I saw that we can ask questions on Spotify. So I'm gonna ask you a question: is how do you use ChatGPT? So let me know how you use ChatGPT, and it will be nice to interact with you guys. I never did it before, so I hope you give me some answers. And yeah, it'll be nice to know why. Will be nice to know how you guys are using ChatGPT. So yeah, don't forget to follow the podcast on social media. On Instagram, we are podcast.lifewithai. And on LinkedIn, we are lifewithai. And that's it, guys. Goodbye. Until next week.